Good morning, Ypsilanti and E-Course Seventh-day Adventist Churches. We are happy to have Rico Hill joining us here again as our special speaker for today for our Health Emphasis Sabbath. Rico is probably for us most famously known as the co-host with The Blue Guy on From Sickness to Health on the Dare to Dream network of 3ABN. So, but we want to know a little bit more about the man behind the ministry. So Rico, first of all, thank you very much for joining us and consenting to be our speaker for today.
Could you
highlight for us how God has led you to your current involvement in ministry?
My current involvement in ministry. Oh boy, this is a story. Wow. Let me see if I can make it very, very brief. Currently, I am the president of a ministry called the Beehive. Beehive has an emphasis on health education and training churches on how to use the health message as the right arm of the gospel in a way that is according to the way that Jesus did it. My story took lots of twists and turns as I went and was living in Hollywood and was in the movie industry and television industry working for Nickelodeon. And it's where the Lord sort of disrupted my life and led me to a Net 96 a meeting under Mark Finley. And I heard the Adventist message for the first time, fell in love with it. And I've been on a journey ever since then. So I sort of combine media along with the preaching and the teaching of the health message. And that's why we have the program on 3ABN. It's actually on 3ABN now, as well as Dare to Dream, called From Sickness to Health.
So how is it that health ministry is such a passion of yours? It seems to be so kind of far removed from media. How did you navigate and jump into the health arena?
A great question. You know, I can say that I really became interested in health when my mother, my late mother, had heart disease, and she had a triple bypass heart surgery when she was in her 50s. She didn't know the things that we know, as you know, as you've been emphasizing over these many weeks or whatever with looking at the health principles. She didn't know those, nor did I. But I started to study and was attempting to help her out. And it immersed me in a whole education on the simple things that we could do. And slowly I was finding out about these principles, unbeknownst to me, that this was a part of a belief system within the Adventist Church. I wasn't an Adventist at the time. And I looked at nutrition and saw the benefits of exercise and things like that. So imagine my surprise when I became an Adventist. I was like, oh, wow. I didn't discover these things. They already existed.
Very good. Very good. Well, you know, it's interesting. This COVID pandemic has literally turned the world on its head. And ministries and churches all over the world are changing the way they do things. How has the pandemic redirected your ministry focus or outreach?
Well, you know, the thing that we've been doing for the last about 10 years has been a program called CHAT, Community Health Advocate Training. And that has focused on teaching churches, training churches, how to use the health message as an entering wedge into people's lives to share the gospel. Now, because, you know, many churches are shut down, our church here is even not at capacity. We're at about 25%. And there are some here in the state of Maryland, that aren't even open yet. So, and as well as in the DC area. So, it's been a challenge. And the way that it has helped me to refocus, there was this lull for quite a while as people were sort of scrambling to figure out, you know, and Zoom was already around, but it has become like the means of by which we can continue to communicate. But I'm the Lord, I believe, is pivoting me in a different way. And that is to really begin to look at where we are. What does this delay mean? What does this, you know, this period of time when we cannot worship as we normally do? We know prophetically that soon we will not be able to worship in our churches at all. Mm-hmm. So the way that it is sort of like informed this ministry, the Beehive Ministry, is I purchased a little farm in Maryland, and I'm planning on using my home as a training center and as a healing space as I'm going through some renovations right now. And I want to begin to train God's people for not just how to do seminars, but how to really continue to share the gospel message under the most difficult circumstances.
Wow, that sounds pretty incredible.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, from everything I've studied, I know that the time is coming when God's people are going to have to know how to. In fact, we're told in the spirit of prophecy that, you know, that which we failed to do in a time of peace, we would have to do under very trying circumstances. Hmm. So here we are.
Wow. Well, well said. Well repeated. Over the last several weeks here at our church, Rico, we've been focusing on the New Start principles. So looking at the 8 laws of health as it's reflected in that acronym. And today culminates our focus looking at trust in God. What can we expect to hear given some of the changes and how you've redirected your thinking and really sounds like incorporating the 8 laws of health in a different way, more integrally in one's life. What for us that you'll be sharing with us today?
Well, you know, I think it's very interesting that, you know, you are culminating with trust. Sometimes I would even say, you know, I know the New Start starts with nutrition. And there's different ways you can look at it. You can say, well, this is the foundation of all of them. But I'm going to come at it from a different angle and say that trust is number one, because, you know, if you don't trust, you won't do any of the others. Mm-hmm. And trusting is based on a relationship. You know, we don't just trust anybody, but we find that we can trust someone who will take care of your heart, who loves you. So trust, a relationship is based on trust, and trusting is based on a loving God. Mm-hmm. So seeing God as one who loves us, who provides for us, who protects us, defends us, and we will begin to see those principles of love, even down to nutrition.
Oh, very good. Well, I'm really looking forward to what God has placed on your heart to kind of look at it from a different perspective. God tends to do that. He has us looking at things from a variety of different ways so that we can be blessed all the way around. Thank you so much again, Rico, for being our speaker today, and we look forward to what God will share with us through you.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I look forward to it. Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath to you. I am so excited about this Sabbath. I understand that this is Health Emphasis Sabbath, and I've been invited to share a message with you. So this is what I live to do. So I'm excited to be with you today. I understand you've been going through the laws of health through New Start, and now today you're culminating with the message on trust, or the principle of trust. So I'm delighted to be with you today. I want to say a word of thanks to Debbie Young, who I've gotten to know over the last few years, and it's just been a joy getting to know her. And we've been talking for the last few months. I was supposed to be with you in person, but of course COVID-19 happened, and it changed all of our worlds. But nonetheless, I'm able to come to you via Zoom. Also, a word of thanks to your pastor, who gave me a call and opened up the pulpit and welcomed me to it. So I'm thankful for that as well. I have a passion for health. So you can imagine my excitement to be sharing with you a message on health, because whenever I share health, I always like to share Jesus, to lift up Jesus. So that's what the plan is today, to share trust and the principles of health connected to trust, but to also lift up Jesus Christ and the gospel. Let's have a word of prayer together as we begin. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share and to lift up Jesus. But Lord, a man cannot do it, a woman cannot do it. What do we have to offer other than our willingness to be led by your Spirit? It shall not be by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So I want to claim the promise with my brothers and sisters this morning, that if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And we are all asking and believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to just talk about this idea of trust. Trust in God. Now, normally, when you look at New Start and you see nutrition and exercise and water, and you go through those, and it's very, very science-based, and that's good. That's good. But I always like to tell people, even as you talk about nutrition, you know, I've never seen anywhere in the Bible or anywhere in the spirit of prophecy where it says, if tofu be lifted up, it shall draw all men unto it. No, if Jesus be lifted up. So no matter whether we're talking about nutrition or whether we're talking about rest or whether we're talking about water, we're always talking and leading people down the path of understanding something about Jesus, because that's what Jesus is doing. He's always wanting to reveal himself, to reveal what the Father is like. So he uses things, and we're going to see in just a few moments, he uses things, the elements, he uses things like nutrition. He uses even rest to give us deeper spiritual messages about himself. Now, let's understand right off the bat that trust, the principle of trust, is based on relationship. In fact, I would even go so far as to say that all health is relationship. Health is based on relationship. Jesus was all health. And wherever he went, when he walked this earth, he always brought health and healing with him. And it was based on his great love for us. So health is a relationship. Trust is based on a relationship, just like any other type of relationship. You trust people based on a relationship with them. And then I'm not talking about, you know, trusting that if I give you $5, that I trust that you're going to give me my $5 back next week. No, we're talking about, if I give you my heart, will you take care of it? We're talking about trust on that kind of level. And oftentimes we talk about in the context of New Start or the principles of health, we look at it in terms of trust in divine power. Yeah, that's true. But I want to go a little deeper, because you know what? Israel saw all the power of God. They saw him open the Red Sea. They saw him as a fire by night and a cloud by day. They saw all his mighty works, and he repeats them over and over again to them as he brings them out of Egypt and he takes them on their journey. And he says, you saw my mighty hand. But they never trusted in that divine power. And many of them did not enter into the rest that he had for them, according to Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. They didn't enter into his rest. Oh, friends of God, we don't want to have that as an issue. We want to be able to trust in God. And what God invites us to do is to trust in his love, because trust is based on a relationship. And a relationship at the very foundation of it is love, at least in God's economy. It is based on love. And God wants us to trust with our heart. In fact, if we turn in our Bibles to a very popular text is probably one that many of you actually have committed to memory. It's in Proverbs, yes, that's right, Proverbs, you know where I'm going, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You're there in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Notice that the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Notice that. Stop. So trusting is connected to us doing it out of not just something based on fear, based on God's power, but he wants us to trust him based on a love relationship. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy path. Now, sometimes I'm presenting to a secular audience and, you know, you got to be careful because sometimes they're not ready to accept this idea of trusting in whether it's divine power or divine love. They're just not willing to accept anything about God whatsoever. So you have to be careful. But sometimes I get a curious question where someone believes that I'm leading them down the path to God, and they'll say, well, wait a minute, what are you trying to get me to trust? What do you want me to trust? And I just use this text and I say, well, you know what? You have some health issues, right? Or you've picked up some extra pounds, right? Or something is gotten you curious and focus your attention on health, and it's probably because you've been trusting in yourself. In other words, you've been leaning on your own understanding about what should be on your plate, your own understanding of how you should conduct yourself in terms of your rest and when you should sleep and these kind of things. You've been trusting in yourself and you haven't understood the principles. Let's just start with the principles themselves, and let's see if health can come as a result of the principles. Because see, I know, and you know, that those principles are divine. So if I just can share with them something that's divine, God is in it, and they will have a benefit from it. You got that? So I want to introduce them into a relationship with something that will be effective in actually helping to turn their condition around. So I say, you know what? Trust in, if you drink enough water, you're going to actually be healthier, right? You won't suffer from dehydration. You won't have these headaches or whatever the case may be. Trust in the fact that getting out in sunshine will help to regulate your blood sugar, help to regulate your blood pressure and things like that, right? There's scientific evidence on that. So what I do is I take the principle from the Word of God, which says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. See, I don't have to give them the text. I give them the principle of it, because the principle of it invites us into a relationship with God. Now watch this. He says, lean not to thine own understanding. So whose understanding do we need to lean upon? He wants us to lean upon his understanding. You know, the Bible defines, in fact, Solomon the preacher, he's called, Solomon the preacher, the wise man Solomon, he actually gives us a definition of, he gives us a definition of understanding. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, the beginning of wisdom, fear is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. Let me give you that again. It says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy, or the Holy One, is understanding. So knowing God, actually having a knowledge of God, is what understanding is. And what does God want us to understand about him? Well, in Psalm 100 and verse 3, it says, the Bible tells us another text that might be one of your favorites. It tells us there that know ye not that he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. It is God who has made us and not we ourselves. So the Bible is teaching us that You want to lean on understanding, lean on the understanding of who God is, and God made you. And if God made you, then he knows what to feed you. If God made you, and he did, he knows the right beverage to go into your body. If God made you, he knows when you need to go to bed. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. God knows everything about you because he made you. In fact, we're told in Isaiah chapter 43, it says, God who formed you, who created you, has called you by name. And then he says something so precious. He says, you are mine. Doesn't that sound like a relationship? You are mine. You know, when we get around February, you know, people start passing out cards. Be mine. Would you be mine? Right? God says emphatically, you are mine. He makes such an explicit statement that you are his. You and I are his. And let's get back to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. So the Bible says there, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not half of your heart, not some of your heart, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Now watch this. This is powerful. As you go down and you see that it says in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now notice verse 8. It says, it shall be health, the King James says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So the Bible's telling us, and it's connecting this idea of somehow trusting in God is connected to your health. By trusting in him, it is like health to your navel and marrow to your bone. Now, the Bible's not just arbitrarily just throwing out things about your anatomy and physiology. No. He's talking about what trusting in him actually accomplishes in this relationship. He's saying that it shall be like marrow to your bones. Do you know that that's where your stem cells are produced? Many of your stem cells are produced right there. Your immune function is produced in your bone marrow. So God is saying, by just having trust in me, there's health at the very basic level, stem cells that are being produced by a belief and a trust in me. It's a relationship. The relationship to health is by trusting. Trusting actually brings health. Now, can we go a little deeper? Let's go a little deeper. You know, when God made Adam, he placed him in a garden. He placed him in a garden. And you know, you really, even before we get to the garden, we can start with Jesus on the cross. Jesus came that we might have what? Life. And life is health, and health is life, right? And when you think about a relationship, you know, we all want to see our family members healthy, don't we? We want to see them prospering in health, whether it's the husband and wife, or a parent and a child, whether it's among siblings. We desire health for them. In fact, God desires it even more than we do. In fact, he says in 3 John 2, it says, beloved, notice what he calls you, beloved. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So as your soul is prospering, God wants your health to be prospering at the same time. This is how important it is to God. So Jesus came to this earth and he lived a perfect life. And let me tell you, Jesus was healthy. You know, sometimes we see Jesus represented as a very, very, you know, very thin man. But Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus was someone who walked everywhere he went. Jesus was healthy. And I'm sure, you know, back then, I live on a farm now, and I've been cutting down trees the last couple of weeks. You know, as a carpenter, you had to go out and back then and go cut down trees. And then you had to do all manner of woodwork with it. And, you know, plane it down and cut it into 2x4s and all that kind of stuff. And it could take days. Of course, now I just go with my chainsaw, you know, boom, boom, boom. The tree is down. I chop it up into firewood and I'm done in a few hours. But can you imagine sawing all day long and planing all day long and nailing? Jesus was healthy. And Jesus says, I walk today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. So Jesus was always someone who was moving and living out the principles of health himself. And he is our pattern man. He's our example. And that pattern went to the cross for us. Went to the cross for us. And he says, I do this because of a relationship. The Bible tells us that it was based on love. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave to us Jesus. So Jesus is the source, the very heart and soul of our relationship. You know, maybe you're saying, well, you know, these things sound kind of, I've known this, but I don't know if it's so much connected to this idea of trust. Let me take you a little deeper and a little further. Now, here's what I'm going to do. In a few moments that we have left, I'm going to show you just how much God wants this relationship for it to be a heart relationship, because at the end of the day, anyone can tell you to eat this and drink that and do some exercising and all this science-based things, and that's good. I have no problem with it. I'm not even in any way discouraging you from it. But what I'm saying is, it is from the heart that we do things. It is out of the motivation of the heart, and that's what he wants. He says to Solomon, he says, son, give me thine heart. God wants our heart. It is out of the heart that flow the issues of life, but out of the heart, decisions are made. In fact, the Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 10, turn it with me very quickly. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. You like using the Bible? I love using the Bible, especially when I'm giving a health talk, because every talk that I give, whether it's on water or sunshine or nutrition, I'm taking it back to the cross of Calvary and showing something about Jesus. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. I hope you have your Bibles today and you've turned there with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the first thing that happens is, it's a man actually accepting with the heart the things of God that actually leads him down the path of righteousness, that leads him down the path of salvation. So it's with the heart. So God wants your heart. Never should we ever come to someone and say, you know what? You need to change your diet. What? Before you introduce them into a relationship with the one who has the power to give them victory to overcome? At the end of the day, brothers and sisters, it is based on, do you know of the love of God? And if you know the love of God, do you have a love for him? I'm going to show you in just a few moments how this works with nutrition. It's one of my favorite things to share. Lately, I've been giving a message that I have entitled, Collards and Kale, a Love Story. Now, it's not that the collard greens and the kale are in love with each other, you understand. It's that there's something about the collard greens in which they love you. Now, that's a whole another way of thinking. See, here's the thing. From the very beginning, listen to me very carefully. From the very beginning, God determined that whatever he gave man, it was based on a relationship. His relationship with the environment, his relationship with food. In fact, that relationship, the whole test in the garden was over, will you just accept the love that I have for you? Will you accept this relationship from this relational God who desires to be with you, to walk with you in the cool of the day, to really have an ongoing, in fact, an eternal relationship, so much so that I've placed in the garden food that when you eat it, it actually gives you eternal life. Why? So that I can be with you forever. See, God wants to be with us forever. So he placed man in a garden where he could actually live with him forever. And you have to understand that in any scenario where there's love, there's also choice. isn't there? So, I mean, you can't force people. That's not love. See, that's one of the first signs that you know that this is based on relationship. Relationship is based on choice, liberty, freedom. You don't force people, right? I mean, a husband can't or a wife can't say, honey, you're going to eat this whether you like it or not. Well, maybe some say that. But it's not the best thing to say, is it? It's better to actually do it out of love and have love respond. Love awakens love, right? So God gives us liberty. He gives us freedom. He gives us a choice. So Adam and Eve had a choice. They had the freedom, right? But they chose differently. And once they chose differently, what came into it was a forced scenario. Everything now is all about forcing and in control. Do you know that many people have relationships with food and it's a bad relationship? In fact, I would go so far as to say it's an abusive relationship. Well, I'll give you some examples. I'm amazed when people get up in the morning and coffee controls them. Oh yeah, controls them. I drive sometimes when I'm going down to the general conference office, I drive past the Dunkin' Donuts and there's a long line of cars wrapped around the block. Same thing at Starbucks. And it's as if the coffee is saying, look, before you do anything today, you better come see me. In fact, some people even repeat what the coffee says to them. They say, I can't get my day started until I have my coffee. That's a relationship that's controlling you. It's abusive. And also you find that some relationships with food actually cause lifestyle issues, cause inflammation, cause all types of issues in your life. That's a bad relationship. Whenever a food item is controlling you, like coffee, whenever it is causing health issues, whether those are gut issues, whether those are any types of issues, sometimes food causes headache, and I mentioned inflammation already. It all comes down to, do you see the love in the principles? And love, remember, or trust is based on a love relationship. So if you find that those things don't love you, it's a bad relationship. And how can you trust those? Instead, we ought to be trusting God who gave us the things in the first place. Let me give you a few examples before I even talk about the nutrition. And I want to be very clear. I'm never telling in any health talk that I give, I never tell people what they're supposed to eat. It is your business what you eat. There is no condemnation. There is no judgment. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, right? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Again, it is not force. God doesn't do that. God wants you to do things out of a response to his love, right? So you notice that God placed Adam in the garden. It tells us that in Genesis chapter 2, he placed him in the garden. And it says he placed him in the eastern part of the garden, eastward in Eden. And there, he could have put him in the west. He could have put him in the north or south, but he put him in the eastern part of the garden. And in the eastern part of the garden, that's where the sun would come up. And just from, you know, just looking at that, you probably skip over that and say, oh, I don't know why he put him in the eastern part of the garden. But God wants us to ask questions. Why? Because everything that he does, it's based on what he desires in a relationship with us. Take, for example, so he puts them into the eastern part of the garden. Now, scientifically, we understand that the sun comes up in the east, and there's a place in the brain, the base of the brain. It's called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, or the SCN, the suprachiasmatic nucleus. And it is the master clock of all internal clocks, all peripheral clocks, everywhere throughout your body, every organ, all your tissues, all your cells have their own clocks. Isn't it amazing? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So all these clocks in your body, but the one that's at the base of the brain, called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, it is turned on when the sun travels through the iris of the eye, goes down the optic nerve, and it turns on that clock in the morning. It's better than coffee. It actually wakes you up and you're like, yes, I'm ready for the day. God designed Adam in the garden to be in the eastern part of the garden so that when the sun would come up, he would then be awakened and enlivened. And oh, what a day they would have in the garden, him and Jesus. And it's all based on the relationship, because we now understand that the sun is only a pale comparison or a substitute. Yes, I said it, a substitute of the Son of Righteousness. Jesus is going to come in the eastern sky when he comes back. That's his pattern. So he places the sun coming up in the east. He places Adam there to receive the sun so that it would be a daily experience of him waiting for Jesus to come over the horizon to spend time with him. And Malachi 4:2 tells us that he is the Son of Righteousness. Wait a minute. Who comes with healing in his wings. There again is the relationship. Can you trust that? That God wants to heal us, that he wants us to have health. In fact, John 10:10 tells us that he came that we might have health, or life, and life is health, that we would have life and have it more abundantly. We also see that, so Adam was placed in a garden with lots of sun. He was placed in a garden where the water was all around him. Doesn't that say something to you? He had a relationship with this environment. Fresh, pure water everywhere. Can you imagine what that must have looked like? The waterfalls and the babbling brooks and the springs and all those kinds of different types of water. The Bible says there's four rivers all around the Garden of Eden. Imagine what Eden must have looked like at that time in that perfect environment. But that's only, again, a pale comparison of the God who considers himself to be the fountain of living water. He is our fountain of living water. In fact, he says that in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. He says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And he says, all who would come unto me and drink of the water of life freely. So he himself, so what is God trying to teach us? He gives us things that are physical, tangible, things that are right in our midst that we can partake of in order for us to see our dependence on them. Aha, uh-huh. Yeah. 3 days without water, cells begin to die, and sooner or later you will check out without water, right? You need sunshine, the energy, the warmth. It grows our food, life. He wants us to know that we must have a relationship with these things for our health, because they ultimately are a picture or a reflection of him. Let me show you in closing as we look at nutrition. Let's take a look. I'm going to share my screen. And we're going to take a look here. And I'm going to use as an example, I mentioned about collards and kale, right? Collards and kale. So the Bible tells us, now you need to understand this, because I want you to understand that the relationship that's based on trust is a relationship where there's love. Our relationships, when we look at this idea of new start and we get to the T and we say trust in divine power, we need to look and say, let's go deeper and let's look at the love of God in this trust. Do we have a love relationship with God? See, God bases everything. That's always been his ultimate goal, that he would have a relationship with us. He actually considers us his bride. But you already knew that. But let me give you a couple of other texts before we go to here to the greens, because I really want to solidify this idea of the love, that's in the greens. It's powerful. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah real quick. Jeremiah, even if you don't turn there, I'm turning there because I think it's beautiful. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 14. Notice what he says. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, turn, O backsliding children. Ah, see the relationship? Saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. I'm married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. That's heavenly glory. He's saying, I'm married to you. So you must be asking a question. Well, when did Israel marry God? When did that happen? You ready for this? I just have to give you this before I talk about the love of the greens. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 32. Jeremiah 31 and verse 32. Jeremiah, I can't hear you, but if you could just say amen, and I will just believe that you are with me and we are there together. Amen. Jeremiah 31 and verse 32. Notice this, how God is always looking for the heart. Notice what he says. When did he marry Israel? The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 31 and verse 32. Jeremiah 31 and verse 32. The Bible says here in Jeremiah 31, 32, for, am I in the right place? 31, 32. Hold on. Wait a second. Don't leave without me. My page is turned and, All right. Jeremiah 31, verse 32, it says, not according to, let me give you some context. Go to verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Isn't that powerful? Notice, that's where we get the expression from, do you take this person by the hand? He said, I took Egypt by the hand, and they married him. Do you know when they got married? When they stood there at the base of Mount Sinai, and he gave them the Ten Commandments, and they said, I do. It was a marriage. God has always been looking for a relationship with us, and he has given it, and oh boy, the reason why he's given it to us, even in food, is amazing. See, the Bible tells us that the day would come when we would not, listen very carefully, that the God of this world, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4, it says that the God of this world would blind us, that we would not be able to see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is his great love, so much so that he was willing to lay down his life so that we could be not only forgiven, but we could be healed. The Bible tells us in Psalms 103, verses 1, 2, and 3. It tells us there, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then it tells us who forgives all of our iniquities. And then it says who heals all of our diseases. So Christ, in one fell swoop, he actually forgives man of his sins through the death, through his death on the cross, but also it is the healing power of Christ. Even Calvary has accomplished that. Calvary is sufficient for everything that God wanted to accomplish in our salvation and even in our health. It's a relationship. It's because of his love that he does it. Notice what he says. Even going further in this, this covenant that he's talking about in verse 33. Do not move from your seat. I want you to show that even when he says, I have given you greens, it's pretty powerful. Verse 33, it says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. God wants to write a love note in your heart. And I'm about to show you how he's written it already in greens, right? So God wants to have this relationship, this love relationship. He wants to write it in our hearts. He married us, and we are spiritual Israel. In the last days, we are grafted in. We are spiritual Israel, and God has actually afforded to us or given to us all of the benefits that he gave here under this new covenant, where it's not about following the laws, the Ten Commandments on stone, but he instead writes them on our hearts, and we do the things, Jesus said, if you love me, that's a relationship. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, then see what I've done for you, even as I have given you greens. All right, let's wrap it up with this. I want to show you a few slides, and then we'll close. But I hope this seals the deal. Now, I was given this message similar to this, and someone said, wow, it never occurred to me that I could trust God based on the diet that he gave us, because the diet that he gave us is based on love. He says, I usually eat the things that I love, but I found out through this talk that the things that I love don't love me. They've been abusing me. Oh, friends of God, I want you to know that oftentimes we do enter into relationships out of a lack of trust what God has given us, out of a lack of trust of what he has said, out of a lack of trust because we lean onto our own understanding rather than the understanding that God made us. He knows what to feed us, and it is deeper than we ever could have imagined. Let me explain. So, first of all, God gave us, here I'm closing, God gave us an original diet. And in the original diet, there was fruit, nuts, grains, and seeds. Now, with all the many health talks that you've gone to, you know that in the New Start acronym, that nutrition really goes back to the original diet that God gave, fruits, nuts, grains, and seeds. And you'll find that even as he gave us seeds, because that diet was mostly of seeds, because legumes are seeds, nuts are seeds, seeds are seeds, grains also seeds, right? So all of these things are seeds, and seeds have life. They have minerals and vitamins, and basically if you put them in water or dirt, they will sprout up and come to another life. So God gave us a diet of life, right? So in the beginning, it was a diet of life, and that life would constantly be reproducing itself in us, right? And allowing us to live and to live a healthy existence based on what? A relationship with God. Now, here's what's deep. The science shows now that eating a handful of nuts every day actually extends your life by 2 years. Some say even, some of the studies say 2.5 years. Now, isn't that interesting that out of this relationship, as I shared from the very beginning, in the relationship God wants to have with us, he wants us to have life and have extended life. And you find that these things actually love us. When we partake of them, they love us. What are you saying, brother, that the food loves us? Well, here's the new science. There's a new science called nutrigenomics. Nutrigenomics or nutrigenetics, right? And it's based on how the genome or your genes express themselves based on what they're given. Now, take for example, there's this thing called the China study. You've heard about T. Colin Campbell. I've had the privilege of actually presenting with him at a plant-based summit in New York last year and this year. And one of the things that he did was a huge study, 800 million Chinese, who actually, it proved through the research that he and his son did, was that when the diet had casein, which is found in your dairy products, was entered into the diet, it actually turned cancer on. When it's taken out of the diet, simply it turned cancer off like a light switch. Now, nutrigenomics really tells a story and helps us to understand why that is. Because, listen very carefully, inside food, there's DNA. Yeah. There's DNA in food. And your fruits, your vegetables, they have DNA that when you consume them, they communicate with the DNA in your body. Only God could do that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So what happens is, based on how the DNA communicates with your DNA, how the DNA in the food communicates with your DNA, it will cause the genes in the body to express themselves either towards health or towards sickness. Collards, kale, nuts, seeds, grains, the things that God gave, they extend your life, while things that God did not place on the menu in the beginning shorten your life, cause lifestyle diseases and issues. So, can you trust a God who would design such a menu? And that menu is clearly based on love. So the Bible tells us that he gave us fruits, nuts, grains, and seeds. But then after sin, he added to the diet vegetables. Green leafy vegetables, specifically. Broccoli's in there. Oh, this is amazing. Now let me show you some science just on like these particular ones in closing. So let's take kale, for example. A source of calcium and magnesium, it's nutrient dense, but it contains a chemical compound called sulforaphane. Sulforaphane actually is a powerful cancer fighter. So this particular menu item was added after sin. Interesting. Now, kale and collards are in the same family of green leafy vegetables or vegetables in general. By the way, I had the pleasure of growing kale and collards. My kales didn't do too great this year, but my collards are still going. But anyway, kale, and not that collards don't also contain sulforaphane, they do, but kale is known for it. And that's why it has become somewhat of a superfood, right? But it fights cancer. Now, wrap your mind around that for just a moment. The God who loves, the God who desires a relationship, saw that we were in trouble. He adds to the diet in Genesis 3:18, he adds kale and collards. Oh, Adam, you've sinned. Now you have to eat collards and kale and broccoli and Brussels sprouts. How about collards? They have deemed this the healthiest vegetable. Also high in A, C, and K, helps strengthen your immune system, good source of fiber, fights cancer. Why? Because it's anti-angiogenic. I can't go into it deeply, but angiogenesis is basically the organs in the body needing blood vessels, and they will develop blood vessels to feed their organs. When something is anti-angiogenic, it actually cuts off the blood supply, not to your liver, not to your kidneys, not to your pancreas, but if there is a tumor that's growing, it cuts the blood supply off to it while leaving the others intact. Do you see the love and the relationship in that? Isn't it powerful? Can you trust such a God who loves like that, that he would place a chemical inside of the collard greens that actually cuts off the blood supply to a cancerous tumor? Now, some powerful research has been done by Dr. William Lee. He wrote a book called Eat to Beat Disease. Dr. William Lee, and he's done just amazing research in this area of foods that are anti-angiogenic. Eat to Beat Disease, Dr. William Lee. Powerful. Now, when I see that, I say, yeah, that's nice. That's some good science. But I see the love of God in it. And I see a God whom we can trust because he loves us that much. He thought about it beforehand. As I mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it talked about the God of this world who would blind the eyes of those that we would not be able to see the glorious gospel. We would not be able to see the love of God. But what did God do? According to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, turn there in your Bible, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. I've got to show you this. I'm there. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, for the invisible things of him, from talking about Jesus, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So what is Romans chapter 1 verse 20? You've read that before, but Romans chapter 1 verse 20 is talking about a God who sees the end from the beginning, according to Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, where it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand. So God, who knows the end from the beginning, he knew exactly what the devil would do. He knew exactly how he would blind the people so that they wouldn't be able to see the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew it. So God placed it in collard greens. He placed himself in kale. He placed himself in broccoli. He placed himself in things of the garden. In the sunshine, he's there. In the water, he's there. He places himself in all things so that
that he made and said, these are the things that I want you to have, Adam. These are the things that a day will come when you will need these things. You won't be able to see me, but you'll see my love in them. I hope this is making sense to you. Science says the global burden of disease study identified a typical American diet as the primary cause of Americans' death and disability. Inadequate intake of vegetables is our fifth leading dietary risk factor, nearly as bad as our consumption of processed meat. More than 100,000 lives per year could be saved if people just increased their consumption of fruits and vegetables to meet the dietary guidelines. Oh, friends of God, do you see it? Do you see the love of God? Do you see the one whom you can trust, who desires a relationship with you, who said, eat this, don't eat that. But if you eat the things that abuse you, eat the things that control you, those things will make you sick. Whereas God gave you the things that reveal himself, and he was all health, and you will have that health in a powerful and wonderful relationship with him. In a Harvard University study, researchers found that of all the foods associated with protection against chronic diseases, greens packed the greatest punch. Now, isn't that interesting that that was the very thing that God instituted into the diet for man after sin? Can you trust a God who loves like that? Broccoli reduces cancer risk. It also contains sulforaphane, right? But I want you to see this study that was done by the University of Chicago, Harvard University, and U.S. Institutes of Health. Notice all the cancers, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It reduces it just by eating broccoli. And I know some of you are thinking, should I eat it raw or should I cook it? Well, eat it. Eat it raw or steam it lightly. But don't kill the enzymes. Either way, just eat your broccoli. Because what the science showed was that when people eat broccoli, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma reduced by 40%. 40%. That's astounding. Lung cancer by 28%. Breast cancer by 17%, ovarian cancer by 33%, esophageal cancer by 31%, men, listen, prostate cancer by 59%. Have you heard? Have you seen this science? And it's just the thing that God instituted in the garden after sin. This is a God who loves. Can you trust him? Absolutely. Melanoma, skin cancer by 28%. So many studies. Effects of cancer cells when exposed to bioactive sulforaphane in cruciferous vegetables. Oh, we're talking about cruciferous vegetables. Let's be very clear. Cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, kale, cauliflower, collard greens. All of these are cruciferous vegetables. All of these were instituted after sin. All of these were given to man after Adam and Eve sinned. In Genesis 3:18, he says, right here, thorns and thistles. Here's how that text reads, thorns and thistle, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. That's how we introduce it. He was saying thorns now. There were no thorns before, thistles now. That is symbolic of the diseases that would come. And in that one verse, God is saying, you're going to have prickly things in your life. You're going to have coronavirus in your life. You're going to have things that are going to threaten your life and your family's life. But I have placed in your midst something already from the very beginning that will heal you, that will protect you, that will defend you, that will heal you. This is a God who never abandons the relationship that he started. But here we see that just these cruciferous vegetables showed a profound epigenetic change in the DNA. Sulforaphane reduced by half the amount of cancerous activity in genes, by half of cancer in the body. That's powerful, brothers and sisters. Another study showed the epigenetic, that's this idea that the genes will express themselves based on the information that they're exposed to. What is in the DNA of the food? Remember that. Nutrigenomics and nutrigenetics. Epigenetic increase in the activity of tumor genes, gene suppressor genes, or tumor suppressor genes, forgive me. Going too fast here. But it shows us that when you eat cruciferous vegetables, it actually suppresses the tumor genes in the body, the cancerous genes. It suppresses them by simply eating those. I close with this. Cabbage, oh, I didn't mention cabbage. Cabbage is also a cruciferous vegetable. Well, you'll be glad to know that this is deeply spiritual, brothers and sisters, and this is just an example of a God who made these things, and he puts in them love, love that, as I mentioned, protects you, that heals you, that defends you, that actually strengthens your immune system. That same Dr. William Lee, he wrote in that book, Eat to Beat Disease, he gives five things that actually help us to fight. And he talks about that the angiogenesis. He talked about genes regeneration, that stem cells. He talked about the microbiome, the gut health. He talks about DNA protection. These foods protect your DNA. In fact, repair your DNA when it has been gone through some type of damage or mutation. Don't you hear the love of God in that? Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope you hear it, because that kind of love you can trust. That kind of love you can trust, and he put it there. He did it, just like we read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, where it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, like cabbage, from the things that were made, like broccoli, from the things that were made, like cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. These things were made because God wanted to put himself in there so that you would see that he is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. Can you trust a God like that? I didn't just bring up cabbage because it looks great, but I wanted you to see that there's a relationship between these cruciferous vegetables that were brought in after sin, the cabbage and the cross. There's a relationship between the cabbage and the cross. And what the cabbage and the cross shows us is that all cruciferous vegetables, they are called cruciferous because you already hear the word crucify in the word, cruciferous. Now, cru means cross. For us means bearing. Cruciferous means cross bearing. Wait a minute, what? Cruciferous vegetable means cross-bearing. It's not a coincidence. It's not arbitrary. You actually, the reason why they call them cruciferous vegetables is because when the plant starts to blossom or when the fruit is about to come, and I just learned this because I'm a freshman farmer now, but before there's a fruit or a actual manifestation of the vegetable, you get a flower first. And the cruciferous vegetable, it blossoms in four ways like a cross. Oh, yeah. In fact, if you look at that beautiful, and I hope you're seeing it, when you look at that beautiful cabbage right there, take your cabbage, unfold it, and you'll find that it goes this way, and then it goes to the opposite direction. And then you go to the next leaf, and it goes that way, and then it comes to the opposite direction. It is in the form of a cross, so they call it cruciferous. But don't you know that Jesus made it that way, designed it that way, with all cruciferous vegetables? Because they came after sin, and man needed a cross. Man needed healing, and he needed salvation. And it's both found in Jesus Christ, the righteous. Beloved, I ask you today, on this Sabbath, this world is about to get turned completely upside down. And God wanted to know, he wants to know now, he wanted to know in the Garden of Eden, will they trust me? Do they really believe in this relationship that I desire to have with them? Let me test them on food. We're told that many will fail the test just on appetite. But today, I want you to know the God who loves so much
that he places love in food. He doesn't want, you know, I talk about the people who get in line. They drive and wait their turn to get some coffee because it controls them. They can't start the day without it. Have you ever seen people stand in line for a little bit of cabbage? Have you ever seen people stand in line for a carrot and wait? Have you ever seen people hide a little celery in their desk like they do other things? God wants us to see him in this food. He wants to see us. He wants us to see him, rather, and he wants us to trust him because he loves us so much. And trust is based on a relationship of love. And today, I hope you have seen the love of God, and I hope you can trust him. In these final moments, trust him with all your heart and all your soul, and love him just the same. May God bless you. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for revealing yourself in such strange ways. But I pray that today we've seen just a glimpse of Jesus, and that trust is more than your divine power. In fact, your divine power is based on your love. Even as Romans chapter 1:16 tells us, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Your love is power and your power is love. And we thank you for giving it to us. Help us to trust it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.